justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments. Western Stone Company takes this time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform around the world standing tall for our political and economic freedom. This holiday season, let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their efforts abroad and our support at home keep America strong. That's from Paul and his family and the professionals at Western Stone Company, serving our listening area with quality service, reliability, and integrity. Call 303-823-6404. That's 303-823-6404. They're on the air because they care about our troops.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and we'll be going over the World Affairs Brief that Joel has written. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you again.
Well, you pick up the story, and what are the latest issues that your dad covers in this week's World Affairs Brief?
Certainly. Well, the top story this week is about the Navy Yard shooting, which we say it looks like has all the pieces of another setup. In fact, one could almost predict the news stories as they came out about the shooting this week at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. Witnesses started off reporting multiple shooters who were allowed to escape. Later, police reports and statements by controlled police chiefs dismissed the other shooters without explaining why. The lone shooter was revealed to have a history of being mentally unstable and taking mood-altering drugs, or mind-control hypnosis. The weapon was broadly reported to be an assault weapon, even as the facts indicated otherwise. The shooting took place in one of the most restrictive weapons areas in the country, but government failed to intervene despite multiple warning signs. The same old pattern continues to emerge time and again with each successive mass murder with guns. An inevitable cover-up by law enforcement ensures that the full truth will never be known. The object of all these manufactured crimes is gun control, including eventual confiscation. And though politicians are loath to risk their careers by voting against guns, this is a prime issue on the globalist agenda, and they won't take no for an answer. America will continue to be subjected to these set-up killings until they get their way. After the Newtown shootings, members of the anti-gun lobby were ready and waiting to pounce on reports that the perpetrator, Aaron Alexis, was using an AR-15 assault rifle to do the killing. Pundits immediately called for a renewal of the assault weapons ban and more gun control. As Eric Wemple hints, this was a massive disinformation campaign propagated by law enforcement and the media. He says, quote, CNN correspondent Pamela Brown just reported on air that Aaron Alexis, the deceased suspect in the Navy Yard shootings, entered the facility yesterday armed with a shotgun. Citing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, as well as law enforcement sources, Brown reported that the gunman had tried to purchase an AR-15 at a gun shop in Northern Virginia, but was turned down. Two pistols were also recovered. So why all the reports about the gunman and an AR-15? This is how Brown explained it, Joel says. Of course, never admitting that CNN and others are all too willing to promulgate this lie. He says, or she says, quote, military personnel that were responding to the shooting were carrying maybe one or more AR-15s, and that's where the confusion came from initially from law enforcement. That's why that was reported. Eric.
You know, let me just comment, Andrew, because I think this is a very important issue. I mean, everybody heard the story, AR-15. Now we find out that he tried to buy an AR-15 a couple of days ahead of time, couldn't do it, so he bought a shotgun. So why did all the news media, over 250 news stories, come out about the AR-15? Why? Obviously, they knew ahead of time that this is what the weapon was supposed to be. And, of course, unfortunately for them, he wasn't able to buy an AR-15. Am I suggesting that they knew ahead of time what was going to happen? Well, for the same reason that certainly British television reported that Building 7 was going to had come down 30 minutes before it came down on September 11, 2001. British intelligence reported, you know, 30 minutes before Building 7 came down, that Building 7 had come down. How would they know that Building 7 was coming down? I mean, how did they know to have the cameras all set up to get the pictures of Building 7 coming down any more than they knew to have all the cameras set up to take all the pictures of the attack on on the Twin Towers that morning? I mean, how did they have the picture set up to take the picture of the plane coming in to hit the South Tower? Nobody ever asked these questions, but they really should. How did the newspapers know that an AR-15 was supposed to be used that morning, but he didn't have one? And then the story came out, well, it was an AR-15 shotgun. They have to cover. They expect us to be incredibly naive. Stop and think, ladies and gentlemen. Who knew ahead of time that there was going to be an AR-15 used, that he was trying to get an AR-15, but then they didn't know, they didn't get it?
Yeah, that's a very...
Go right ahead. Wait. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. This fellow that we're quoting for says that the AR-15 was reported far and wide. A Nexus search, AR-15 and gunman and Navy Yard, turned up nearly 270 articles. In the mix, the AR-15 plays a role in several ways. Either the guy was armed with the AR-15, or it was instrumental in his terrorizing the cafeteria, or it was found alongside him. It's an enormous data point, too, given that the AR-15 was used in the Newtown and Aurora, Colorado mass killing, end quote. The actual weapon was a Remington 870 shotgun Alexis had purchased 2 days earlier. According to police, he had also shot a security guard and began using the officer's .40-caliber Beretta semi-automatic. It's a good thing that this shooting hasn't implicated an assault weapon again. The evidence of an AR-15 as the sole weapon used in Newtown was most likely fabricated, and Joel says, I'm glad they aren't pulling the same stunt here. Early reports from Newtown said the assault rifle had been left behind in the gunman's car, and it wasn't implicated in the deaths fully until the coroner issued his statement that the AR-15 had killed all the victims. Although the other shooters at that scene could have been using such weapons, I think the coroner falsified parts of his report to demonize the assault rifle. Based on combat reports in Vietnam, the .223 high-velocity round of an AR-15 assault rifle would have passed right through most small people like children, and not lodged in the body as claimed by the coroner. No actual detailed ballistics report has been issued showing the weapons found and matching them to the bullets extracted and analyzed. Why not, if it is conclusive and so many conspiracy questions abound? In fact, very little evidence has to be presented if the culprit, or patsy, is killed or kills themselves as part of the shooting and thus eliminated the need for a trial. James Holmes, the movie theater shooter, is one of the few cases where a mass shooter didn't end his own life as part of the shooting spree. And I think it wasn't meant to end that way. Apparently he lapsed into a daze and wandered into police custody without a fight or taking his own life. Notice how he has been kept under mood-altering drugs and psychiatric care since his arrest. If you doubt that government would be willing to fabricate criminal reports involving
guns... Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan and Andrew is making the point that the media creates our reality. And of course, the people who control the media, and believe me, the media is tightly controlled. If it weren't for the alternative media and the Internet, you wouldn't have access to any information. But the people who control the media want to disarm the American people in preparation for the coming dictatorship. There's no question that the media is controlled. We have a wonderful book called The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing college professor, because he thinks the right-wing controls the media. It doesn't matter. His facts are all right. It's just his interpretation is wrong. But you can see this beautifully exemplified over 270 articles in different newspapers, all talking about the AR-15. The only trouble is the shooter didn't have an AR-15. He tried to buy one, couldn't get it. But the story, they knew ahead of time an AR-15 was supposed to be used. And this has happened time and time again. Well, they've come out with false stories, and they all have them. And remember, of course, British television announced 30 minutes ahead of time that Building 7 was going to come down on September 11th. How did they know Building 7 was going to come down? How did they know to have the cameras all set up so you could see the planes hit the South Tower that morning? And then the following day, they released the film of the plane hitting the North Tower. I mean, we're told, oh, there were some people with a camera, and they were shooting some scenes there in New York, having to do with the police. And they heard a plane fly overhead, so they took the camera off what they were doing, filming this incident with the police, so they could take the picture of the plane hitting the North Tower. Ladies and gentlemen, do you really believe this? Are you that naive? Go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right, Dr. Stan. Some people even doubt that government would be willing to fabricate criminal reports involving guns. But we have a link here in the brief to evidence that the FBI National Lab was recently criticized by the Inspector General for fabricating evidence on gun crimes in past years. One of the terrible aspects of the Navy Yard shooting is that the gunfire was allowed to go on for over half an hour, way too long given standard emergency response times. In what could become a major scandal, it was discovered that the D.C. police forced a highly trained and heavily armed emergency tactical response team that was located just a few blocks away to stand down and leave the ongoing battle scene within minutes of it starting. If this is true, this means there was a conspiracy to make sure there were a lot more casualties than a quick response would have allowed. Here's an article from, of all sources, USA Today, called Capitol Police Thwarted from Aiding at Navy Yard. It says, quote, an officer told USA Today, saying that the tactical team arrived quickly, but Capitol Police Commander ordered officers to return. The U.S. Capitol Police have launched an investigation into whether an elite tactical team was abruptly recalled from responding to Monday's Navy Yard shooting massacre before D.C. Metropolitan Police officers confronted the shooter. Two Metropolitan Police officers entered the Navy Yard without the Capitol Police team, and one was wounded by the gunman, Aaron Alexis. The elite Capitol Police Containment and Emergency Response Team is based just a few blocks from the Navy Yard. A law enforcement source told WUSA-TV the unit was less than 30 seconds from the gate and responded as Metropolitan Police pleaded for help. A Capitol Police Watch commander, quote, wouldn't let them go in and stop people from being slaughtered, end quote, one officer told the Washington TV station, which is owned by Gannett, USA Today's parent company. Capitol Police spokesman Chanel Antrobus said Wednesday that Chief Kim Dine ordered the independent inquiry, which is to report its findings and recommendations by October 21st, end quote. Joel says, this is explosive evidence, and Dine's ordering a quote-unquote inquiry is a typical stalling tactic which will use controlled individuals to cover up or downplay the significance of the stand-down order. Dine should be the chief suspect in this inquiry, not the one ordering the investigation. But that's not going to happen. This delay in police reaction sounds like what happened at Columbine, where the shooters were left so much time they could wander around looking for more victims. Fortunately, the gun control hype surrounding this incident is fading as the media is forced to address several difficulties surrounding Alexis getting on base with loaded weapons, in particular, how Alexis got his security clearance renewed in July after numerous police and mental health red flags that were somehow dismissed by gatekeepers in the system. Here's a summary of the problems a background check would have revealed via CBS News. Quote, Seattle police posted details about the May 2004 incident. Two construction workers there reported seeing Alexis walk out of his home, pull a gun from his waistband, and fire three shots into the two rear tires of a 1986 Honda owned by one of the workers before slowly walking back to his home. Police reportedly later arrested Alexis after finding a gun and ammunition in his room in his grandmother's home where he had been staying. After his arrest, Seattle police reported he told officers he felt, quote-unquote, mocked by the workers and felt they had, quote, disrespected him, end quote. He claimed his anger caused a, quote-unquote, blackout and that he couldn't remember the incident until about an hour after he fired the shots at the car. A continuing records check uncovered that Alexis had a concealed pistol license and a Glock 45 caliber gun registered to him, according to a police report made public on the Seattle Police Department's website. He was booked for malicious mischief, according to the report. Joel asks, why didn't he have this gun with him at the Navy Yard rampage? Alexis was also arrested in September 2010 for allegedly firing a gun inside his Texas apartment, reports the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Alexis had been arrested in DeKalb County, Georgia in 2008 on a disorderly conduct charge and held for two nights, end quote. So that makes at least three arrests, and the gun crimes would get on the national database accessed by the federal government for use in security clearances. Yet, strangely, none of these disciplinary problems or arrests prevented Alexis from receiving a security clearance or from purchasing a shotgun recently in Northern Virginia. This is all just not possible unless someone inside is hiding his records from the computer database. This could happen with people with criminal records that are working for the dark side of government. The U.S. has a seamless relationship with many hitmen in the mafia who also do contract work for the CIA. Their records are also kept out of the databases. Then there's the issue of his honorable discharge from the Navy after a series of problems. After this series of problems, quote, from the LA Times. Alexis had a Navy record that included several unauthorized absences from duty, instances of insubordination, and disorderly conduct, one instance of being absent without leave, and several failed inspections, according to a Navy official. The Navy gave Alexis an administrative punishment after his 2008 arrest. Officials have not revealed what punishments Alexis received for his other offenses, but sanctions often range from loss of pay to reduction in rank. Alexis applied in 2011 for an early discharge from the Navy before his enlistment was up. Because of the spate of disciplinary problems, Navy officials looked at giving him a general discharge, which is given to sailors with conduct problems whose performance otherwise is satisfactory. But after examining his record closely, they opted to give him an honorable discharge in January 2011, the official said, end quote. Joel says, someone had to intervene to upgrade his general discharge to honorable. Naturally, we are being led to believe that someone just had a soft spot for Alexis and let him pass. However, going AWOL and engaging in multiple instances of insubordination and disorderly conduct, especially when that conduct leads to an arrest, are serious charges in the Navy and call for a degraded discharge unless higher-ups intervene. Oftentimes, these anomalies are signs that dark side agents have lured someone into their world and made them a special offer they can't refuse in exchange for future cooperation. Alexis, I believe, was a patsy being protected and set up for this shooting. As in the case of Timothy McVeigh, the dark side of the CIA has recruiters placed throughout all the uniformed services, looking for just this kind of mix of cockiness, instability, and intelligence that can be used in various forms of mind control for black operations. McVeigh became a willing dupe for his handlers, thinking he was doing a great service to the nation by helping blow up the Murrah building, and probably didn't even know about the other black operations personnel who were tasked to plant other explosives in and around the building to ensure a more lethal blast. Seismographs showed two major explosions that morning in Oklahoma City, not one. Neither did McVeigh know he was being set up as a patsy for the crime done by government agents. Even as he bragged to a cellmate about his ongoing relationship with secret U.S. operations, he was loyal to the end, hinting at significant mind control. That kind of mind control can't be done with just anyone. You have to start with someone disturbed and unstable and then use a combination of measures to further destabilize them. Quote-unquote, help with mood-altering drugs, and then use hypnosis to program them into doing certain acts. The evidence below indicates several types of destabilization and mind control were also used on Alexis. Quote, this is from the LA Times. Police in Rhode Island warned the U.S. Navy last month that Aaron Alexis was hallucinating and hearing voices, and security officials at the local Navy base where he worked promised to look into the matter. Newport Police Lieutenant William Fitzgerald said Wednesday that officers had faxed copy of their report to the Newport Naval Station after Alexis had told them on August 7th he was being threatened by unseen people and feared that some sort of microwave machine was penetrating his body. Joel says, these types of emotionally destabilizing techniques do exist, even though the media chuckles at his complaints. Of course, he is going to have insomnia after this, and the U.S. government is prepared to offer drugs as his solution when he shows up at a VA clinic. Continue the LA Times story. Quote, while in Newport, Alexis contacted human resources for his employer, The Experts, multiple times to complain about hearing voices in his hotel room, company spokesman Lou Colasuono said. Company employees thought he was referring to actual voices, Colasuono said, and moved him into new hotels twice. Joel says, another indication that moving didn't help, his handlers were following him with the equipment to ensure he would be driven somewhat crazy. Sleep deprivation is a powerful adjunct to mind control. Continue with the quote. The Department of Veterans Affairs said Alexis had been treated on August 23rd in the emergency room at the VA Medical Center in Providence, Rhode Island. Quote, complaining of insomnia, end quote. He was given a small amount of medicine to help him sleep and instructed to see his primary care provider. 5 days later, he received a small refill from the emergency room at the VA Medical Center in Washington, end quote. That single incident of prescription drugs probably isn't the whole story, Joel says. It is telling that the shotgun Alexis bought and used had two cryptic messages carved into the weapon's wooden stock. Better off this way and my ELF, according to one police source, or my ELF. If these were done by him, it smacks of both a suicide message and a reaction to the electronic radiation he claims to have been subjected to. ELF is possibly a reference to extremely low frequency, which is a form of electronic bombardment often complained about by people living near the kinds of long-wave transmission lines along the northern U.S. border with Canada that are used by the Navy to communicate with submarines. Or he may have been told these electromagnetic waves were the real culprits rather than microwaves. These kinds of claims are found on various internet sites about mind control and may or may not be real. When a person is being manipulated by mind control experts, there are often pseudoscientific reasons proffered to increase their paranoia about being harassed. The targeting is real, however, even though the person will be fed many different stories to make them more unstable and fearful, and hence more dependent upon the drugs and hypnosis being offered as the quote-unquote cure. But what the public records never show are the sessions the target patsy gets with a psychologist, who often administers hypnosis, which is an integral part of programming used on unstable people to do these kinds of mass shootings. That also means there are psychologists working for the dark side of government doing this work behind the scenes. However, mind control is not an exact science, so all these set-up mass shootings utilize another key element. One or more additional shooters, whose job it is to make sure that not only are there more casualties, but that the patsy dies in the act, so he can't talk when the drugs wear off. For example, there was at least one other shooter inside the Sandy Hook Elementary School, as seen by at least one witness who was down on the, seeing him down on the ground with police handcuffing him. They don't do that.
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, would they state something like this to get your guns? You're absolutely correct, they would.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and we're going through the World Affairs Brief. Andrew, would you like to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, how they can get your dad's information, and how they can get the books that your dad has published on the strategic relocation? How can people get the books? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're heading into a very, very difficult and dangerous time right now. In fact, there's a very real possibility of an EMP attack on America if we attack Iran, and our leaders are talking about that as a very real possibility. Not imaginary, not sometime in the distant future, but in the very near future. Go right ahead.
Thank you. The best way for people to get in contact for these things is to go to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can find an easy link for signing up for the brief. It's an annual subscription fee. It's quite modest, and that helps support all of our research and writing for these briefs each week. They can also find daily updates to the website with some of the new stories that we are finding useful. And they can find a link there to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has listings and descriptions of all of the books and materials available from Joel. The most popular of which, of course, is Strategic Relocation, which has been selling very well, because it outlines all of the threats that we foresee and outlines plans for people about how to find a more secure location to live or a more secure retreat location as a contingency. There are several scenarios outlined in there for different people's situation and explanations about how to create your own escape map to your retreat location in the event of an emergency. Most people don't realize they need to stay off of major corridors like freeways and things which can get blocked up or bogged down and actually keep people there. Anyway, there are lots of details in that book to go into. Once people have a secure site or a retreat purchase, they'll want to get the secure home, which outlines all of the emergency preparedness that they should do with a property and security features, as well as alternate electricity. Or if they just want to remodel a single room with some of these features in a more basic way, they should get the high security shelter. Which is our most recently updated book, and it outlines all of the things in a do-it-yourself mode, including plans for building a single secure room that would house their supplies, their family, all in a secure location from earthquakes, social unrest, robbery, theft, and things. And all of these books are also available through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not simply a theoretical thing to worry about. It's something you should be concerned about and be making your plans now. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're talking about why there might have been multiple shooters at these kinds of mass shootings. And looking at some of the historical examples, we noted that there is definitely one at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, at least one. There are witness reports of one or two others. But there was also another accomplice in the Dunblane massacres in Scotland, which of course gave Britain the excuse to ban all handguns. The authorities there claimed that the shooter in the Scottish school that killed 32 had committed suicide. The trouble is the gun left near the dead shooter didn't match the caliber of bullet in his head. He was obviously killed by his handler to make sure he wouldn't talk. Multiple witnesses saw at least one other shooter at the Navy Yard wearing camouflage clothing, and the police put out numerous alerts initially about the other shooters. Early reports by officials talking to the LA Times declared that more shots had been fired after one shooter was killed at the scene. Police also said that there are potentially two other shooters dressed in military-style clothing. At least one shooter had engaged police in a running firefight. Then suddenly, all these reports were tamped down, and D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier announced on the same day that there was only the lone shooter. End of story. No more inquiries, no more reports about the guys that got away. It was incredible. Of course, the establishment has prepared excuses for all of the lapses in security procedures that are being focused on. No one ever loses their job over this. They always proffer the universal solution, quote-unquote, new procedures to make sure this doesn't happen again. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel admitted that the clearance personnel had missed many warning signs. Quote, when you go back in hindsight and look at all this, there were some red flags. Of course there were. Obviously something went wrong, end quote, as he announced a new series of reviews in space security. The only advantage to liberty in all this, is in the overall outcome of this setup, is that these horrendous security lapses will force the media into spending a lot of time concentrating on this as a government problem rather than a civilian gun control issue. After the successful recall election of the top two Colorado anti-gun legislators, Congress is in no mood to tackle gun control again, I hope. But one thing we must never forget is that most of the security personnel and all of the military personnel in the Navy Annex were disarmed. This was another gun-free zone that is always the preferred target of these kinds of setups. One almost victim, using the handle Lottie, texted a friend saying, quote, I'm in a building being secured by a security officer that doesn't have a gun, 3 exclamation marks. Ask me, do I feel safe, end quote. Even the guards there weren't allowed to be armed. Now the area has roving SWAT teams, the same ones that were called off and told to stand down at the beginning of this fight. Something is very much amiss here. To make things even more convoluted, John Rappaport writes about the other version of events that have surfaced, which are very much contradictory. Yesterday, I referenced a USA Today piece which cited a federal law enforcement source, off the record, who states that Aaron Alexis, the accused shooter, cleared a Navy Yard security checkpoint in his car. After parking in the lot, he got into an argument and opened fire on one or two people. He then entered the building where he went on a killing spree. So did Alexis shoot his way past security guards at the building's separate checkpoint? Why weren't the guards waiting for him just outside the building with their weapons drawn after he, Alexis, had already shot up people in the parking lot? This USA Today account hasn't spread widely through major media. It's a version of events quite different from the official, more peaceful, quote, gained entrance to the building by using someone else's ID, end quote. So that's two accounts. Now I have a third from an unsourced person who appears to be familiar with procedures at the Navy Yard and other naval facilities where computer techs, private contractors work. According to this source, Alexis was to show up at the yard to work. He'd been hired as a tech. This was his first day on the job. He didn't need two IDs because these private contractor techs are issued a VAL, Visitor Authorization Letter, which permits them to enter and work in various
fields. Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Sure. Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's 970-339-3900.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and we're covering the latest World Affairs Brief. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Well, this is a quote from a story by John Rappaport. He says, quote, according to the source, private contractor techs are issued a visitor authorization letter which permits them to enter and work in various buildings. These VALs have an expiration date. Alexis would have been carrying a VAL to get past checkpoints. Also, these techs typically carry no more than a backpack or small bag for cables and program CDs. Highly unlikely that Alexis could have gotten inside with a shotgun. So that's three scenarios. Then we have the variations. He obtained an AR-15 inside the building. No, he didn't. He got hold of two handguns, CNN says. He fired an AR-15 shotgun, which doesn't exist. Then there were two other shooters. Then there weren't. One of the two was supposedly interviewed and released, Joel says, which doesn't mean another shooter didn't exist. The third suspect? Who knows? Somebody's lying big time. Have the networks shown pictures of the actual security checkpoints outside the parking lot and at the building, allowing us to infer what really happened there? If so, I haven't seen them. Neither have I seen pictures of the parking lot where, if pictures were taken early enough, one would expect to find shell casings and blood, assuming the USA Today story is correct. The narrative is crumbly, and reporters aren't picking up the ball, because they are merely taking dictation from law enforcement officials. End quote. Rich Lowry wrote an editorial for National Review and Politico.com that discussed the, quote, impossibility of gun control, end quote. He says, the Navy Yard massacre won't revive the gun debate in Congress for a simple reason. There is no gun control agenda this side of a total ban and confiscation that would have stopped Aaron Alexis. The Toomey Manchin bill could have passed Congress unanimously. The assault weapons ban could still be in place. Gun controllers could have achieved their long-ago goal of barring the private purchase of handguns, and every step of his mayhem at the Washington Navy Yard would have been unimpeded. The media rushed, based on erroneous reports from law enforcement, to place in his hands an AR-15, a popular rifle that has been used in mass shootings before, and that an assault weapon ban would prohibit. The front page of the Daily News blared, same gun, different sleigh. The newspaper's columnist, Mike Lupica, worked himself into lathers of dudgeon over the offending gun. They call semi-automatics like this sport rifles, he fumed. You bet, mostly for the sport of killing innocent people and killing them fast. End quote. Lupica's screed would have been absurd if an AR-15 had been the murder weapon. Hundreds of thousands of them are bought annually by people with no interest in killing innocent people. But it turns out that the best sentence he wrote about the gun was the disclaimer, "We still don't know how much Alexis used it Monday." He used it, we know now, not at all. According to law enforcement, Alexis used a shotgun in his rampage. This didn't compute in some newsrooms. CNN referred to the weapon as an AR-15 shotgun. Maybe the new protocol should be that any gun used in commission of a crime automatically gets an AR-15 prefix. Alexis chose a weapon, as it happens, that has been endorsed and promoted by the Vice President of the United States, who makes it his business to tell us which guns should be banned and which are all-American tools of self-defense. The shotgun is firmly in the latter category. Joe Biden sounded like a pitchman for Remington at a Facebook town hall earlier in the year when he urged a mother concerned about safety, "Buy a shotgun, buy a shotgun." This may be fine advice, but there should be no mistake. Shotguns are dangerous. When it comes to the sport of killing innocent people, almost any gun will do, especially if it is in a permissive environment where no one else is likely to be armed. This makes a hash of the conceit that the government can ban a few guns, based largely on cosmetic features, and make shooting rampages less likely. Other common panaceas would have had no effect either. Alexis bought his shotgun from a duly licensed dealer, not at a gun show. He passed a federal background check with no problem, Joel says, which shouldn't have happened given his arrest record for gun violations. Continuing, he didn't have a high-capacity magazine. He reportedly got the handgun or handguns he may also have used in the attack after shooting a security officer. So the Navy Yard rampage demonstrates the essential sterility of the gun control debate, and all the ill-informed nattering that the likes of Piers Morgan can muster won't change that fact. It is true that James Holmes and Adam Lanza used AR-15s, supposedly, we say. But Sung Hu Cho and Jared Loughner used 9mm semi-automatic pistols, and Aaron Alexis used a shotgun. The common theme is that they are all deeply disturbed young men whose acts of murder had a sickening aspect of utter senselessness. The Daily News got it backwards. Its headline about the Navy Yard should have read, "Different gun, same slay." Maybe, just maybe, this time we can have a real debate about mental illness, end quote. Joel says, no, mental illness isn't the real problem. These mass killings only happen when people are subjected to hypnosis and mind control by a government intent on taking away gun rights. So watch out for anti-gun writers proposing that anyone seeing a psychologist for any reason is disqualified from having a gun. Often courts will order such psychiatric evaluations or interrogations, and that could be used against a perfectly normal person. I don't trust the psychology profession, nor agree with their methods of diagnosis, and am opposed to giving them any power at all to mandate treatment. Well, that's the end of the Navy Yard shooting story. Some of the other top stories in this week's brief, Dr. Stan, this week, are about the UN report on the chemical attacks and how they are a political fraud. Also, about how the globalists are currently switching their agenda to targeting Iran away from Syria a bit now. The attack on Iran is still on the globalist agenda. Also, there's extensive reporting on the coming showdown over Obamacare and the debt ceiling. There's obviously a lot of talk there. Seems like we still have a couple of minutes here. Let's look at the UN report on chemical attacks. The highly touted report out this week from the UN merely confirmed that there had been an attack and that the delivery vehicle was a military rocket. Once again, the U.S. media trumpeted this as proof that only Assad could have done this. This was echoed by U.S. lackey Foreign Minister Lawrence Fabius, who said, quote, a report by U.N. inspectors who investigate an August 21st chemical weapons attack in Syria leaves no doubt about the responsibility of President Bashar al-Assad's government. The report's authors state that they found, quote, clear and convincing evidence that surface-to-surface rockets containing the nerve agent sarin were released on a relatively large scale during the August attack.
We're out of time, Andrew, but nobody says this could have been a CIA effort to put the blame, certainly, onto Syria to justify American intervention there. if we want an excuse to topple that government, we're toppling all those governments. Rather,
ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Ladies and gentlemen, in Afghanistan, at one time, we had 90,000 American troops. We cut back now, but we had 90,000 American troops. We had 100,000 contractors. We were paying part of the salary for 45,000 NATO troops, and certainly the salaries for several hundred thousand Afghan military and police. And we were fighting less than 100 members of Al-Qaeda. We were fighting less than 100 members of Al-Qaeda. Does that make sense? And certainly now, this is not a civil war in Syria. This is a mercenary army. We are paying, and we are employing, and we are financing, and we are training. And, of course, part of that army is Al-Qaeda. So we're fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and funding Al-Qaeda and financing Al-Qaeda in Syria. And this is not a civil war. It's a mercenary army that we've sent in that's killed 100,000 people. And if you're not upset, if you're not talking about this, if you're not writing to your congressman, if you're not writing letters to the editor, then you are complicit because they're using your tax money and we've killed 100,000 civilians, many of them Christians. In fact, we're backing the Muslims there that hate Christians. They're killing the Christians. And Assad's government is protecting the Christians, and we're backing the people who are killing the Christians. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. To understand what's going on, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know where we're headed, you need, of course, to get the DVD and or the 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, because one is coming on America, and I fear God is going to bring terrible judgment on America, not because of what the good people have done, it's what they haven't done. You need to get involved, you need to get informed, you can listen to our radio programs 4 hours a day besides this program at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, and all the programs are all there. They're available. You need to get others listening. It's up to you. We're going to lose this country and the freedoms we've had unless you're involved. And we do hope you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You get our DVD and our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, you'll get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert agenda. Agenda 21, the covert agenda, and then my talk on population control, the secret agenda. They're available at 1-800-544-8927. Countries are lost. People lose their freedom. When the evil people take over, we do have an invisible government. About 5,000 people control both political parties and certainly control most of the wealth of this country and make mockery out of our electoral process. And they stage all these incidents, so that we can actually justify taking the guns away from people. Timothy McVeigh, who supposedly blew up the Murrah building, he didn't. Certainly this was done by internal explosives. He told his sister he was working for a special forces unit. He told Terry Nichols he was working for a special forces unit. He told his cellmate, who wrote a book called A Secret.